I hope that you've been working on an intimate relationship with your Father, because He's calling us to total and complete intimacy at this given time. There's such an anointing on God's songs that are out there right now. And if you really listen to them, they're all talking about where you're at in your walk and what God is going to do for you. God is trying to get a message across to the body of Christ that He knows that you're not perfect. He knows that you have flaws, but He's trying to draw you to Him with His love. I always enjoy coming here because the anointing is so strong. And you know, and I notice that people keep dropping away, but God has told us that in this given dispensation, they were going to fall away. And we weren't supposed to be one of those. So you had what it took to stick to it. And you've made it. You've crossed over. God told us we've crossed over the Jordan. And now it's just victory time. Just total victory time. I just want to share about the people who came with me. Brother, stand up, Adam. Adam moved here from Virginia just to go to the Lighthouse Church. God called him and his brother. He has a twin brother. These two boys were messed up, weren't you? But they've been going through deliverance, and these boys are so anointed of God now. How long you been with us, Adam? Ten months. But he's part of the deliverance team now. And then Adriana, stand up. Adrian and him are engaged, I think. Yeah, they're going to get married one sometime down the road. All right, that's the prophetic word. All right. It's been prophesied that they would. All right. Then Nancy is Adriana's mother. I knew Aunt Nancy when she was a tiny baby, and she belonged to the church, but then she decided, well, I don't like what you're... She wanted to get married. You two can sit down, by the way. She wanted to get married to somebody. God said no, and she wanted me to marry them. And I said, I can't do that because I see you in a black wedding gown. So that meant. So she got upset with me, and they left the church and got married, and it was a mess, wasn't it? So she said she's not going to disobey God again. But anyhow, then, Nancy, how long have you been back in the church? 5 years. And God's totally cleaned her up, and she's so prophetic and so gifted. God's having to write books. They're out there to be, you know, in the public to be sold. But I just want to see, and then of course you know Catherine and Christopher. They've been with me. Christopher's been with me forever. Then he had to up and marry Catherine, you know, and mess things up. No, he didn't. I'm just teasing. So now they're joined together. I have a wonderful team of people. I really do. But what I wanted to get is they came in messed up. They found us on the website in Virginia, and they came up to one of our revivals, and there they are, you know. So God is on the move. He's just on the move everywhere. And I don't care what avenue God tells you to go down that avenue, because God knows who He's going to have come into your path. He knows exactly what He wants to do, and He's no longer doing the things He used to do. He's doing brand new things, and I believe it's, I prophesied, I don't know how many times, that your glow would be outstanding or whatever. So it is. And near you stood up here, you were saying you want somebody to start in Delaware. Well, the Lighthouse could start that. God just laid it upon my heart, the Lighthouse can be part of that. So we'll see. You give me the information, we'll see. Father, I just thank you for these people who came out. I know there's a special reason why you had these people come into this building today, whether they understand it or not. And I believe in right now, Father God, before they leave this place, that they will have clear-cut direction, or they will have confirmation of what you already told them, and they will leave here encouraged. They will leave here invigorated and on fire for you. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I was reading last night, early this morning, about where NASA had a team of guys take their airplane and fly through the wall of this hurricane, and they flew into the eye of the hurricane. And they said that when they had the videotape, and they said when he was going through the wall, you know, a lot of turbulence, you could see them, you know, bouncing around. But when they got into the eye, it was perfect calm. And years ago, God told me, his daughter, when a storm comes your way, run into the eye of the storm. And he said, there you have perfect peace. So I'm really encouraging each one of you in here today to press through that wall, whatever it is, that storm in your life, press through that thing and get into the eye of the storm. And, you know, I did a sermon on the eye of the storm, which I, capital I, you know, God is the eye of the storm. You press into him, and in there you find perfect peace. And I want to encourage each one of you that are older. God is going to use the older people. You know, everybody's saying they're using younger people, which he is. But he needs us older people to hang in there so we can sort of guide these here little wild things that are coming in. They're going to need us to lead, guide, and direct them. So your walk with God is not done. And I don't care how many young faces we're seeing, you know, on the news broadcast, you know, and they're all young people out there. God isn't finished with us. We're not over the hill. We've just come to the fullness of what God is wanting us to do. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about you older people. I'm excited about what God is doing with us. And he's always been using us. But now it's a whole new ball game with God. We're going to be using in such a great and magnificent way that we're going to think what we used to do was nothing. With what we're stepping into is a brand new life, a brand new beginning. And I want to encourage each one of you, it doesn't matter what Satan's throwing at your body, because right now he's throwing everything at my body. And I told him this morning, you're a liar from the pits of hell. You know, I'm going to move on and do what God's telling me to do. And so he's doing everything he can, the devil is, to discourage us right now. So don't be discouraged. I don't care, young or old, who you are. If he's trying to plague your body with infirmities, we know how to get rid of that. We take it before the Father and get rid of it. Amen. And don't let the devil tell you you're finished, because if he tells you you're finished, you say, uh-huh, thank you. I know I'm just beginning, because you just told a lie. Amen? Whatever he says is just the opposite. And I was sitting there thinking, as we were doing that night surrender bout, I was reading about this pastor saying that the people in Africa walk around like they're zombies, because they're so, the enemy has, demons have so taken over their bodies that they don't exist. The devil's using their bodies. They walk up and down the roads, and they call them zombies. And so you hear a lot, I was wondering, where's this zombie thing coming from? But then I read this pastor's article. And he was saying about that the people are in a zombie state because they no longer really exist. The enemy's totally taken over their bodies. Now, do you understand how many people in the United States are at the same place with all the demonic stuff that's going on out there? They're just about, you know, they just about don't exist. We were doing a deliverance one time in somebody, and all I saw was just this person, just a little tiny corner of that, their temple, you know, their body. That's all. They were way down in there, and the devil had taken over the rest of their whole body and was using their body for his glory. But then as we did deliverance on them, then they got set free. Now, I don't per se do deliverances right now, but Nancy and her husband, Brett, who isn't here, and Adam, they do the deliverances now in the church. And they're really running into some really wild things. But the people are being set free. And see, this is, we get so excited about this. And believe me, doing deliverance is time-consuming. And they're doing Skype, you know, when people from where the United Kingdom calls. We did one from the United Kingdom, and they did other countries way out there, you know, overseas. They're calling in to get delivered. And this one guy told him the other day, God gave him a vision of an airplane. On the airplane was the name of the church. And so he found out where this church is at, got on the airplane, went to the church, and told the guy, I'm really, the devil's really plaguing me. So the guy said, go out there and get, buy my book and get set free, and send him on his way. And he said, no church has been able to help him. They just say, okay, so you have witchcraft working on you, and you have this working on you, that working on you, and send him away. Well, then he called our church and the Lighthouse, and it's God's church. And Brother Brett, Nancy's husband, did a Skype deliverance on him, and the man was set free. Of course, he'll need more, but he was so excited because he was the first person that actually worked on him and got the devils out of him. Now, That doesn't say much for the body of Christ, does it? If you go into a church and they tell you, go buy a book, go buy my book that I just wrote, and get, Brother Brett has written books too. And I was talking to him, I said, well, Brother Brett, don't you have a book you can send him? And I said, oh no, don't send him a book. You know, to help him, sort of help, now since he had a deliverance, sort of help him work his way through anything else. But you know, they're invited to call back. But what I'm saying is, we have to have outreaches. GLOW has to reach out in any I know you do, but in anything, in any area, in each one of you in here, if you're trying to start something, reach out to the people. Say, I don't believe in Facebook, but Facebook is good for that. Yeah, it's very good for that. But that doesn't mean I have to be on Facebook, does it? I let my staff do it. On Facebook are just crazy, like I used to say. But now I found out there's this whole lot of help. People get a whole lot of help on Facebook. So what I'm saying is, don't limit the resources out there that God has given you. Use all the resources out there that God has given us to reach the body of Christ. Well, let me put it this way, to reach a lost and a dying. That, you know, God has dealt with the church for so many years, and the church has just shoved him aside. And now we have to reach out to the lost and the dying. When I was first born again, I think I've told you this before, I said, God, the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. And he said, daughter, so is my church. And I thought, I can't be here and that can't be gone. But when I got into the body of Christ, I've always gone to church. But then I started going into the born again churches. And I found out, you know, God's right. These people are messed up. They're really messed up. And I'm quite sure you know people sitting in the house of God are really messed up. And our job is to pray, to fast, to pray, and intercede. Get God's face and voice on this thing and help the body of Christ get set free too. Some don't want to be set free. Those we have to shake the dust off of our feet and walk on. But the world out there, believe me, they want to be set free. Whenever, if you was to talk to the deliverance team, when people are set free, they are so excited. Because for the first time in their life, they can think properly. They have their own emotions, their own feelings to work with. And something else is not controlling them. You were like that, right, Adam? Something else was controlled you, right? And now he's free. I get real excited with Adam because he's so excited for God and what God's doing with him. And I just want you all to be encouraged. Don't, you know, you'd be surprised what God sends your way. When Adam and Aaron came to us, God said, you guys bit off more than you can chew. And I found out they were a handful there for a while. But God got them together. I mean, you weren't bad, but you know, they had really some funny ideas. But God got them together, and now that they're a great team, I love them. And when I wouldn't know what to do without them. So each one of you in here, don't be looking for a special person. You know, don't have a whatever you want to say. You know, an idea in your head what a person should look like when God sends them to you, because it's going to be just totally the opposite. You know, when I first started, God told me, he said, you're like David in the cave, and you know, everybody went to David, you know, they were all messed up, right? And so then God sends me all, he told me early on, he said, I'm going to send you people that nobody else wants to handle. Well, he's been very faithful with that little promise he made me, amen. And I said, but God, I said, David made an army out of these people. And I tell my people, I said, why are you so dumb? Why can't you understand? I really tell them, don't I tell you in Samuel? And I said, why can't you do what's right? And so God spoke to me the other morning and said, daughter, they are an army. You just don't see it. So in other words, quit looking through your own eyes at people and ask God, let me see that person through your eyes and let God show you the warrior they truly are. And so when God spoke that to me, I started thinking about the people that's there and you know, come and go. And I started looking at their life and I said, God, they really are warriors. But I'm expecting something else. I guess I'm expecting them to come in suited in their army gear, you know. And they'll probably do that just to get on me. But that isn't what you're going to see. You're still going to see the person. But inside, it's Jesus Christ. All right? I just want you to start looking up. And don't look around, but look up to Jesus. And just tell him, say, God, give me the eyes of Jesus so I can see people as you see them, the finished product. and not the one with all the flaws. If they were so perfect, God wouldn't send them to you. Always remember that. God just told me that. If they were perfect, then they wouldn't need you. So God sends you people that you need to minister to, and you need to love them. And the young lady was playing the guitar. She talked about God's love. God's called us to love unconditionally. And we all know there's a lot of people in our lives that are very unlovable right now because they're so messed up. Really, what's wrong with these people is God told me they're so torn apart inside. The pain of life is so deep. It has really shattered their spirit. And what they need is somebody to love them, even when they're being unlovable. And that's the thing that's going to bring them through the storms of life that they're going through. And God said they cannot help themselves. They don't like even like their own self. They're trying to change and they can't. So I need somebody to stand in the gap, somebody to love them unconditionally until I get them to a place where I can grab hold of them. So if God's been sending people your way or you have family that's unlovable, do me a favor and stop and think about it and start loving them. Overlook the things that they're doing. Overlook the things that they're saying and just love them. Part of your wilderness experience, we've all been going through a wilderness experience. Part of that wilderness experience is having your loved ones turn on you and saying mean and hateful things to you that rip your heart right out. And see, during your wilderness, you know, God's throwing everything at that we were going through. I'm going through mine, thank God, and I hope you all have too. But if you look back, it was all the things that you never thought would ever happen to you happened to you. And they just tore your insides right out of you. But how did you respond? And you know, God had me teach on love. I was teaching love. And then one, after about a year or so, I said, you know what? I told my people, God's trying to get me, who I thought I was a lovable, loving person. There's still some things in me that he needs to change in my love walk. So if God's dealing with you about something, let him deal with you. Because really, if you instead you look at somebody else's flaws, if you're still seeing their flaws, then you have to be worked on. Because Jesus didn't see our flaws. He just saw the perfect vessel that he made. The vessel of honor. And he loved us. And that's why he went to the cross. All right? Well, Father, I really do thank you for this group of people. And now as we go into your word, I want you to open up their spiritual ears. Let them hear what thus saith the Lord. And let that word sink deep into their spirit, man. And Father God, let every gift that you've given them come to life. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing God says, I was praying, he said, he wants you people to know jealousy is running rampant in the body of Christ. People are jealous of other people's giftings. They think they should have more than the other person has. And he's saying, you have to stop that. We can't be jealous of another person's gifting. We ought to say, thank you, God, that you gifted them like that. And then ask God, what's my gift? Where do you want me to work, fit in the body of Christ? Okay? All right, the first scripture we're going to read is Ephesians 4:8. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And then we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. See that? There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Do you see all the different gifts? And it's saying here that God distributes those gifts as he wills. So, all right, if you want to be a big healer like Catherine Kuhlman, if God wants you to be, you will be. But if he doesn't want you to be, you won't be. So you can't get upset with God because he won't let you be a great healer. And you can't get upset with somebody who is a great healer. I'm just using that as an example. And then verse 12 says, for as a body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. See, if all we ever did in the house of God was everybody prophesying, it wouldn't be very functional, would it? We have to have all the gifts working in the house of God, and God gives different gifts to different people so that we are a well-rounded church. So, verse 15 says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? See what God's saying here? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? Where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Excuse me. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Do you understand what God's saying here? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Why did he do that? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? I hope so. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, we can say no to all those. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Now let's stop there. In the Lighthouse Church, God is always your ordaining ministers. Well, here comes Brother Brett, Nancy's husband. He was a scoundrel from I don't know where. He did everything that he could possibly do for the devil. And, you know, he's come in. How long has he been with us, Nancy? 4.5 years. Well, you know, since he sits under me, I am a good chastiser. And I whipped him into shape. You know, God and I did. And he got himself, he's been getting himself delivered. But he's head of the deliverance team. And so God would never give him a title, nor his wife a title, and everybody else had a title. So I was sitting doing something one day at the house, and God said, I want you to ordain both of them as apostles. Not reverends, but as apostles. And nobody else in the church has been ordained as an apostle. So I ordained them as apostles. Now, I don't know what everybody else is thinking. It just had a reverend in front of their name. But we do as God says. And I can see where, why he did that to them. And Brett has a really big problem with pride. Maybe he won't after his deliverance tonight. But he has a big problem with pride. And one of the things God told him when he anointed him, ordained him as apostle, he said, don't let your pride get in the way. I don't know exactly how he said it, but that's what he was saying. And so then the other day, that just happened, about a month ago or just a couple of weeks ago? So the other day, God told me, he said, Brett now thinks that he knows more than you do and he can do it better than you can do it. So I told his wife that. She said, I'll be praying against that. So lo and behold, what did he do the other day? He messed up. He questioned. It's all right to question, but it's the thing he questioned. And then he said, I have to get a deliverance. So he got a deliverance on his pride again. But God warned him. And even the night before he did it, God said, now Satan has a trap set for you. Don't fall into it. Well, the next morning he fell into it. But what I'm saying here is, so everybody else is just reverends and they've been there for years. And here comes this little Brett. He's a very God. God has really anointed him to write books. And God has been giving him great revelation on the mind and in the courtroom of heaven. And he's written a couple books about that. How old's Brett? Well, he's in his early 30s, okay? So God's really using him. But he has charisma. And I really preach against charisma because charisma is not going to take you to heaven. So when somebody has charisma, they can talk you into doing anything, right? And so he's really working on that, not to let that charisma, be the one that ministers to people. And it doesn't. But the people are sitting back and looking at him saying, look what God's done. He's written these books. He's getting money off his books. And he came in here. He was all messed up. And I've been here and I've been straight and I've been living good. And, here he is. He comes in here, a little scoundrel. And God starts just blessing him. That's God's business, not ours, right? This is what we're getting at by the giftings. Now, God told me I'm supposed to write a book and I couldn't write a stick, But I sorry, God, if you want me to write a book, you're going to have to dictate it because I don't know how to even start it. And many others he's told to write books and I don't know if they're writing them or not, but he's told them to write them. So if they don't write them, see, Brett didn't write his books at first either. God told him when I first met him, he said, son, I want you to start writing books. And this is how you're going to make, I don't want you to get a job. This is how you're going to make your living. You're going to make your living in writing books. He just started writing books. And so he's been in poverty. He's been in poverty, but now he started writing his books. Now he's starting to get money and they're starting to see this is what God said is true. This man is going to be used in a powerful way and God wanted him to write books to give it to the body of Christ. So they can also have the knowledge that God's given him. So each one of you in here, and I'm hoping by the time you leave, you know what your gifting is. If you don't, I want you to know that your gifting is your unique gifting. You're not supposed to try to be a writer if God's called you to be a prophet. Are you understanding this? You're not supposed to go out there crying out, oh God, make me another Catherine Kuhlman if God wants to make you another David. You be what God's called you to be. Excuse me. You be what God called you to be. And if you really concentrate on the gifting that God has given you, God will use you mightily. But if you're trying to be everybody else, that's all right. You're telling her to get me a glass of water. But if you're trying to be yourself and everybody else, you're never going to make it. One time when I was first started, I didn't know what God wanted me to do. And I was out there preaching. And one day I said to God, God, who am I? He said, I don't know. He said, you're trying to be everybody else. I don't know who you are either. He said, why don't you just be yourself? Thanks, Nancy. We want to be this great big whatever, And I was trying to be everybody else. Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, what I'm saying? And God said, I don't even know who you are either. He said, I called you in your personality. So what I'm saying here is, don't you try to be, don't try to be like me because you'll never be like me. It's your personality that God uses to minister to the people. So you be you. In all your uniqueness, because you are unique, and you just let the gift that God has given you, let it come alive. Let it come alive. Now, I know that God has called me to be a prophet, and I know that he's told me I'm an apostle. I don't advertise that, but I know all that. And so I'm trying to fit into all these all these giftings that he's given me. And it's been hard through the years just trying to stay leveled out and not trying to go off on a tangent. And as I have just let God lead me and guide me and grow me up into these different giftings, I'm happy. I've always been happy with myself, but I was always afraid I was going to let God down. You're not going to let God down if you're concentrating on what God has called you to do. And the reason for this meeting here today, and the reason for God to talk to you about your giftings, is because he's getting ready to start using you people. And you have to understand what he's using you in. And then you have to just concentrate on that. Because if you don't, you're going to fall. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to fall. And I just really encourage you to be who you are. I can be rough around the edges, ask my people, or I can be smooth. It's just however God wants to use me. And I said, you know, God uses me to be rough around the edges when I'm preaching. And I said, God, please don't take me there, because I can hear what he's, and I hear what he's, where he's taking me. I said, I don't want to go there today. But it doesn't matter where I want to go. It's where God went. He knows who's in that church who needs to hear that message. And I said, God, I promised the people I wouldn't go there no more. And here I am. He said, you're not going anywhere. I'm doing it. So what I'm saying here is, if you surrender today, then you're saying, God, I no longer exist, but you work through me. So whatever you want me to say, whatever you want me to do, you just use my vessel and you do it. And then you watch and see how God can work when you give him control of your vessel. We sing their song, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives within me. But that's not true. Because we always want to be the one that's living, you know, doing the thing. And see, if we no longer live and it's Christ that lives within you, then you surrendered all yourself to him. And you just let God work through you. Are y'all understanding that? God's saying this is your dispensation. When he's going to start sending you forth, he's going to start opening up doors for you, and your giftings are going to be magnified within you, and people are going to start even glorifying you. And he's saying that's not a bad thing, but just don't let it go to your head, and you just go ahead and do what God says he wants to do. Now see, when I minister, about 99% of what I say is God just takes me over and just starts speaking. Very little of it is of me, because I couldn't talk to you if it was me. That's the truth. And it's the anointing, and then I just let God just use me any way he wants to. He'll go down this side road and down that side road, and then he might come back on the subject again. And so I'm telling you that too. If you'll just yield yourself totally and completely to God, it'll be him who will totally and completely talk through you. And it will be him that talks to the people. And that anointing, as the voice goes out, the vibration goes out, the wind goes out, it'll change people's lives. All right? Every time I come up here, I used to always try to get a message together, and you know I never could give the message. But so I didn't even try this time. I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do with those people up there? And he said, just, I want you to talk about the giftings today. All right, so that's what we're doing. He said, because some of you in here, he said, you're getting tired, really, because you've battled so long and so hard, and you believe God isn't going to use you. You believe it's all been just a falsehood, and he's saying that's not true. He's been gearing you up for this time. He's been grooming you for this time. I've been preaching, 30-some years now, and God told me about a year ago, you haven't even yet touched the hem of my garment. In other words, I'm not even doing hardly anything that God's want me to do yet. He said, your latter years are going to be wonderful. And he said, I'm really going to use you in your latter years. So, guys, what you've been so far, he's been grooming you for this time. He's telling me to tell you right now that what he did in the past, nothing's going to compare to what he's going to do in the future. And we're going to see things that the church has never seen. And we're going to do things that the church has never seen before done. And so I want you just really get excited. And you men in here, I'm so glad to see 3 or 4 men in here. You just don't understand how much God wants to use you men. He really wants to use you men mightily. Do you understand that the men in the body of Christ are not godly? Come on, the majority of them are not godly. The majority of them are caught up in pornography. We're going to do a teaching on that, a 5-session teaching on that. And what God is trying to do with the men, he's trying to get the men to be purified, cleansed, and holy, so you can minister to the ones that are not. Men need men to lead them too. And if you guys would just do what God's telling you to do, He will use you as a great leader to lead other men. I don't care what you've been into, what you dabbled into. If you knew the life of Adam, he dabbled into everything, right, Adam? And he's not you're not ashamed of it because I just told on you, okay? And he's out there helping other people, talking to other people. And see, this is what it's all about. It's all about your flaws that you had that God corrected and made you perfect in that area. Then, so, wow, you know, I made it. You can then go back and encourage other men. Hey, you don't have to stay in that hole that you're in. I was there one time and God brought me out, and now you can come out too. And you men need to understand your wives need you by their side. They need a strong tower that they can run into. I know we have Jesus, but you guys need to understand your wives need you desperately. They don't need you in a pornography shop. They don't need you out there looking at a hooker, whatever you said on computer. They need you by their side. They need you to be the strong tower. They need you to be the priest in the household, the one that they can lean on. And we don't find that in our houses anymore, in our homes. The men have gone astray. They've done everything wicked that possibly can be done. But I'm not condemning, because women are just as bad. But I'm saying God needs the men to rise up and be what they're supposed to be in the body, in the home, and in the body of Christ. All right. Okay. So then, we were on verse 30. Where did we didn't read? Did we read verse 30? We did. Didn't we? Yeah, we did. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow after charity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. See that? And I'm reading this because God is calling prophets right now. There's so many false prophets out there that God needs true prophets to come on the scene. And you men, you need to become prophets of God, where God can use you as an oracle for him. And you can go forth and, you know, you might run across one of your friends and all of a sudden God starts using you to prophesy into their life. And you'll stand there amazed, and they'll stand there amazed, because you're going to be telling them things that they don't think anybody knows except them. And God is calling everybody forth for the prophecy. Verse 3 says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. See that? But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, I have Brother Chris Gore there. He speaks in tongues all the time, and I think it's wonderful. But I very rarely speak in tongues. And I always thought there was something wrong with me, and God said, no, we speak face to face. So then, you know, because you should. You should speak in tongues, and I do speak in tongues, but not like other people, you know, not like a lot of other people do, because God just plain speaks to me, and, you know, and he just used me to speak forth. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to edifying of the church. So everything we do should edify the body of Christ. All right. Then Luke 11:1 says, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, this is Jesus was praying, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See how he told us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. See that? For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Now, that's not true, is it? Let's say that again. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though, this is Jesus still speaking, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Now, in that verse 8, it says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence. God wants us to be persistent when we pray to him in whatever we have need of until he gives it to us. He wants to, sometimes I think, I really believe God just wants to see, do we really want what we're asking for? Or are we just doing something for nothing? Verse 10 says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You know, we have not because we ask not. And sometimes when we ask, we feel like we're either unworthy or we have some dumb notion that God's not going to give it to us. God said, ask, be persistent, and you'll have. And a lot of the body of Christ, well, God doesn't care for me. God isn't answering my prayer. How persistent have you been in your prayer life? Are you really, do you really go, all right, I have a loved one in my family who is messed up right now, and they did something they shouldn't have done, but God's given me a promise about them, and they should be going to jail. So I'll just tell you that. God said to me, I would like to put them under the jail. But because of your persistence and because of your love for him and my love for you, he won't go to jail, but he will have to pay for what he did. Now, why isn't he going to go? He should be going to jail for the next 100 years. So why isn't he going to jail? Because of my persistence to God. Don't send him to jail. Don't send him to jail. Don't send him to jail. And because of my love for him. And he's been very unlovable. But God told me, you love him no matter what he does. You love him. He needs somebody to love him, and I want you to love him. And so I've been loving him and loving him. And you have to be, at first it was a chore because he was really out there. But now it's not a chore. Now it's just something just comes naturally once again. And he's not over the hump. But God said, because of your love for him and God's love for me, he's going to do this thing that I ask. So what I'm saying here, guys, even though the thing looks really dark and really dismal, how much do you love the person you're praying for, and how much do you love God? I know God loves you forever, but how much do you love God, and how much do you trust God that he will do what you ask him to do? Yeah, I've told this story before. I don't know if I told it here or not, but you know, God's allowed me to raise a couple people from the dead, and this one guy prayed and raised from the dead 3 times. He had cancer, and he went home. And God, I was at work, and God came to me, and he said, "I'm gonna take him on home." And I said, I ran to the bathroom real quick because that's where I prayed when I worked. And I said, what do you mean you're taking him home? He said, well, he did not do any things I told him to do when I sent him back, when he died and came back. And one thing he's supposed to do was leave his wife, who was an atheist. And he said, he won't leave her and he'll stay with her. And if he goes right now, he'll come with me. But he said, if he stays, he won't. He'll lean to what she's doing. He said, whatever you want. Told me, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. And I thought about it, and I said, well, Father, I don't want him to go to hell. And so go ahead and take him if that's what you have to do. And God said, you'll get a phone call at 5 o'clock in the morning that he's gone. And I got a phone call that morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. He just died. But what I'm getting at here, God gave me the option to whether the man lived or died. I think it's wonderful that God would trust and love you that much. And you know, you can have the very same relationship with your father. And you know, one of the other guys that God allowed me to raise from the dead, I was home burying my mother-in-law, and they came to me, and when I come down off the, I heard he died, so I went to the mountain to pray, and I said, God, you can't let him die. He was my pastor. And so when I got back down off the mountain, I had a phone call, and it was the pastor's son. The pastor's son said, Sister Barbara, my father said to quit praying. He does not want to live, and he's back, and he wants to go back. He said, please quit praying. He said, he's seen heaven, and he doesn't want to stay here on earth. And he begged me, he said, Daddy's saying, please quit your praying, because as long as you pray, I have to stay here. So I said, okay, I'll quit praying. And so I said, God, and I said, God, whatever your will is, go ahead and do it. So he took the man back home again. Now, I think that's awesome. I don't know about you, but you can do the very same thing. Very same thing. God, you know, I raised a dog from the dead one time. Remember that story? You know, I was sweeping and a dog got in my way, and I said, get out of here, and I hit him with a broom, and I had the metal part of the broom hit him in the head and killed him. And it was just a little dog. And my grandson said, you better bring him back to life. I said, I can't do this. He said, I was a deacon in the church. He said, you better do it or I'm going to tell the people what you did. You killed my dog. So I got down on my hands and knees and I started praying for that dog. And I said, honey, it's not where. He said, you better pray harder. I'm going to tell on you. So I prayed and I prayed and I felt the faith rise up in here. Next thing, that dog went, eep! You know, rolled. He was laying down. You know, he'd pooped and peed himself. You know, his tongue was hanging out. But he went, yip, and stood up on his feet. And God brought him back from the dead. Now, man, for a whole month, he walked around with his tongue hanging out of the side of his mouth. You know, I think that was to torment me. And I kept praying, God, please put his tongue back where it should be. But come on, guys, you know. You can have the same intimate relationship with your father. One time, God's just had me sharing this. Some of you need encouraged here. One time I was really going through a lot of deep pain. I'm a lot of hurt. A lot of things going on in my life. And the father came to me and he said, daughter, I'm bringing the alabaster box to you. I thought that's precious. That God would bring the alabaster box to me and anoint me with that oil. And one other time I was going through a lot of pain and a lot of hurt, you know, and I walked out my back porch and the porch is wet and I just felt this dew, you know, falling on me and nothing else was wet. And I said, God, what is that? And he says, the dew of Hermon. I brought the dew of Hermon to you. Heal my pain, you know. I mean, I've had so many wonderful encounters with my father. And when I had my heart operated on, not a couple of years ago, 6, 7, 10 years ago, wherever it was, I died on the operating table. And they brought in, and they, I heard a voice saying, come on, Barbara, your time isn't finished. You got to come back to us. Come on, Barbara, come back to us. I didn't know I died, you know, and God brought me back because that lady was saying, your time's not up yet. Come on, guys. This is the God we serve. He's a wonderful, powerful God. And he doesn't want, you know, just one of us. You know, well, some people are jealous. Well, look at all the wonderful things he did to you. Well, you know, I didn't ask for him. He loves me just like he loves you. He loves you like he loves me. And you know, he can do for you what he wants to, and he can do for me what he wants to. He says he does whatsoever he wills. So I'm just out there just being the vessel that God wants to use. Doing the things God's telling me to do. And I know he's had me share some of these things with you this morning because he wants you to realize that your giftings are there. And as you yield to those giftings, he'll anoint those things and make them real, make them alive. I want to warn you right now. You know, I've been anointed ever since I was born again. Been prophesying ever since I've been born again. Didn't know what I was doing, but that's what I was doing. And the body of Christ, after a fashion, they kept saying, you can't do what you're doing. You just can't do that. That is not godly. You just need to stop. And after a bit, I started to question myself. You know, God was doing healings everywhere. He was doing great and powerful things everywhere. Devils would jump out of people when I got in front of them. And they said, then they told their people, well, she's of the devil. Don't go to her church. You know, all different kind of stuff like that. But after a fashion, this is what I did. I started saying, is what I'm doing really real? Is the devil working through me? And what happened was I started not using the giftings because I started questioning God, really. And so I just backed off. And I went through about 20 years of the worst hell of my life. Because when you back off from God, you know, the anointing wanes, the glory wanes, and you know, you're trying to pedal backwards, really, back pedal. And one day I came to my senses and I said, you know what, devil, you're a liar. Those were giftings from God. The body of Christ needed them, and you didn't want the body of Christ to know anything about them, so you tried to steal them from me, and you didn't only try, you did. But I'm back, and I'm on fire, and you're not stealing nothing else from me. So don't you allow him, what I'm saying here is don't you allow the devil to tell you what you're doing is not of God. Now, there are things going on out there that are not of God, but if you know that you're a true child of God, and I know that I'm a true child of God, then if you know you're a true child of God and you're walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and God's getting you to do things, just go ahead and do them. And it, well, really and truly, everything I was doing was bearing fruit. There was, everything was good that was going on. There wasn't nothing bad going on. So right then and there should have told me the devil's a liar. All right. And the devil will surely come to your face and talk to you. I've had the devil come to me 3 times face to face and talk to me and tell me what he's going to do to me. He did everything he did, except he couldn't kill me, all right? And one time when he was putting me through the loops and was doing everything he said he was going to do, I said, God, please let me die. He said, you hang in there. He said, you're going to make this. So the devil might even come and talk to you face to face. But you just go ahead and tell him that he might be able to touch you, but he can't kill you. All right? Because I told him, you can't touch me. Yeah, he can. He can touch you, but he can't kill you. Look what he did to Job. And God told me, you're going through a Job experience. I've had many experiences with God and where, you know, he backed up with his word. So I'm not standing up here telling you something that is not fact. I'm not standing up telling you something that you can't get in the word and find out what God's doing with you is really in the word, because it's there.